Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Haven't woke up yet, huh? Good to see y'all today. This morning, it is good that we are together. I know the Lord's going to bless us as we worship this morning. The one announcement that is new, please note on the back page of the bulletin, the Greene County Outreach announcement, both on their shopping hours and their receiving of donation hours. They are changing a little bit, so please make note of those. And before we enter into worship this morning, I just want to thank y'all for your cooperation during this COVID time. I know wearing the mask aren't comfortable. I know that it is not the same, not being able to hug each other, not being able to shake hands, etc. But you have cooperated fully. When you've been exposed, you've stayed away from the church. If you have felt sick, you've stayed away. In other words, you have done all the right things. And I'm not taking that for granted as your pastor. I appreciate that. And because of you doing all the right things, we've been able to continue in-person worship even in the midst of a couple of surges as of late. So I just felt compelled this morning to say thank you and how much we appreciate it. And because of you doing the right things, we hope and pray that we can continue to worship in person. And so thank you for your cooperation as that continues to make it possible. Are there any announcements that should be made that were not made? If not, it is a joy that the Lord brings us together. So let us gather now and worship His most holy name. Gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that indeed you are faithful. And in your faithfulness, you have promised that whenever a group of people comes together in your name, you are in our midst. So we know you're here now. So as we worship this morning, we pray that our hearts and minds are in that place where you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we receive your messages to us. And we pray that as we proceed, that this service will be pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our litany this morning is based on the hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. Let's join together. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford.
I need thee, O Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. O bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh.
I need thee, O Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. O bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need thee every hour in joy or pain, Come quickly and abide, or life is vain.
I need thee, O Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. O bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need thee every hour, most holy one. O make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son.
I need thee, O Lord, I need thee.
Every hour I need thee. O bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
And as we go to prayer, are there joys or concerns that should be expressed this morning? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, this is the day that you have made. We do rejoice and are glad in it. We thank you that you have brought your people together this morning. We're glad to be in this holy room. Gracious Lord, we come together today in the midst of a chaotic world. There's turmoil on in every sphere. But Lord, we come praising you. Praising you not because everything may necessarily be going well. Praising you not because anything is going to our liking. But we come praising you because you are still God. We come praising you because you still love us. We come praising you because you are still in control. We come praising you because we know that you still hold the world in your hand. And so, gracious Lord, may we take at least a few moments as we have gathered and remember who you are. And remember whose we are. And may you be pleased by what you experience from the heart of your people. We thank you this morning that we do have the freedom to be here. The freedom to be here, to not be here. The freedom to worship, to not worship. The freedom to worship where we feel most compelled, where we feel most in touch with you. But Lord, we know that that freedom is both a privilege and a responsibility. May we never take that privilege for granted, but may we always treasure it. And may we never forget those who have taken on the ultimate responsibility, putting their lives in harm's way, standing in the gap between us and those who would take it away. They serve in military roles, they serve in civilian roles. We pray your protection upon them as they protect us. We pray your healing, the physical and the emotional wounds. And we pray your peace upon the families whose loved ones gave it all. And gracious Lord, we do pray for many in our congregation and many associated with persons in our congregation. We said no one aloud this morning, but our prayer list is still lengthy. You know each and every one. We pray your healing touch according to your will and your wisdom to be upon each. And we pray that those silent requests, those silent concerns that are upon the heart this morning, known only to the individual and you, we pray they feel connected to you this morning and they know that you are active within their concern. And gracious Lord, we do pray this morning for our nation. Lord, if we're honest, we know the nation has never been at a time wherein everybody liked each other. We know there has never been a time, even from the formation of our nation, when everyone agreed. But Lord, we pray that as Christians, we might be instruments of your peace. We pray that as Christians, your people, we would not fan the flames. We pray that as your people, we may be instruments of reconciliation and not division. And Lord, you're the only one wise enough to know what the answers are, and you're the only one that has the power to intervene. And so, Lord, may you take over. And may your will truly be done. And Lord, as always, we thank you for the fellowship of Christians that gathers here at Walker Church. We thank you that we are able to worship, to serve, and to encourage each other. And we pray that as you have blessed us beyond measure, that we may be a blessing to this community and even the world. And we pray that we will be conscious of your presence with us when we leave these grounds. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. And bring us back that we may worship you and encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Gracious and loving Lord, you have blessed us beyond all measure. Your people have brought back a portion of those blessings back to you to be used by you through the church. We pray that your blessings will continue upon each gift and giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
I have to admit it, I'm tired. I need a break. I need 2 weeks away from wearing a mask, from not seeing my friends, from having to stay pretty much in my house, in my office. I need a break. As I thought about that, I said, everybody needs a break right now. Everybody does. I think everybody feels the same way. I got to thinking about my favorite prayer, the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. And that means I don't need a break. What I need is to be a channel of God's peace. And that takes the stress, that takes everything in life that's bad, it makes it somehow go away. It's still there, but it makes it easy to bear. Make me a channel of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith.
Sitting there thinking as Putt was singing, if all of us who claim the name of Jesus were able to live that out, what a difference it would make. So thank you, Putt. Our scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all say, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have to admit that I've had to come to grips with a disturbing reality. I am in control of nothing but my attitude and actions. Anything else, anyone else, is completely beyond my control. I used to think that if I was spiritual enough and thus had God on my side, I could be in control. Well, even if I could, I'm not spiritual enough. But I can't. I used to think that if I could learn enough leadership techniques, I could be in control of the church I serve. Yeah, right. I used to think that if I kept my weight in check and so forth, which I do try to do, but I used to think that if I could do that, I could be in control of my health. I used to think that if I raised my children correctly, I could be in control of them. I used to think that if I learned enough, I could be in control of my finances. Sure. Am I the only one in this room that has ever thought they could be in control? I know I'm not the only one in this room that's wanted to be in control. The realization that I control absolutely nothing beyond my attitude and actions has been very humbling. Perhaps some of you have had a similar revelation. And when we come to that realization that we control nothing or no one except our attitudes and actions, we are confronted with a choice of responses. And that response will either thrust us into defeatism, or we'll experience freedom and peace and liberation like we've never known. Psalm 29 describes the sovereignty of God. The psalm lists various strong and powerful aspects of nature that the ancients would have been very familiar with and very likely would have feared. And then they declared God's power, God's sovereignty over them. For this morning's thoughts, I'm particularly drawn to verses 3 and 4. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. For many of us, the beach is a relaxing place. To watch the waves come to and fro is an emotional release as our stresses are washed out to sea, even if only for the duration of that visit. Such was not the case for the ancient Hebrew. Large bodies of water represented chaos. Sudden storms were not unusual for the region, and obviously the unpredictable nature of the storms was frightening and life-threatening. The ancient Hebrew believed in sea monsters, which were further dangers beyond their control. And you know, you might say, ah, come on, sea monsters? Well, if you ever saw, now I don't think whales exist in the Sea of Galilee, but just take this as an example. If you didn't know what a whale was, they didn't have the study of oceanography or whatever that science is called, and you see this big old giant thing come out of the water, what are you going to think it is? It's either the biggest fish you ever saw in your life or it's a sea monster. The ancients believed in sea monsters, which were further dangers beyond their control. For the ancient Hebrew, chaos and large bodies of water were synonymous. Thus, when John writes in the book of Revelation, celebrating that the sea is no more, he's not trying to take away your pleasant vacation. He's saying the chaos, John is envisioning chaos and danger being removed from the human experience. Do most of us not deal with the need to think that we are in some semblance of control? Even if we don't desire to control anyone else, we seek control of our little world. Many, if not most of us, seek and strive for a sense of stability. And if we ever feel we have achieved it, we do all in our power to stay there. Why do you think preachers and churches so many times lock horns? It's the church is comfortable and the preachers want to move them beyond their comfort. But it took us generations to finally get to this place of comfort. Now you want to come shake it up. It's not that anybody's good or bad. It's just we all, whether institution or individual, we seek a place of stability. And if we ever feel like we've achieved it, we fight tooth and nail to stay there. And chaos is the opposite of control. When we watch the news and we see report after report after report of war, terrorism, economic decline, political turmoil at home and abroad, natural disasters, etc., it's easy to drown in despair or apathy because the reality is there's not a whole lot we can do. In natural disasters, we can rend a little bit of aid. But I can't do anything about Washington except vote every 2 to 4 years. I can't do anything about crime in the street except hopefully vote for the right people that's going to do the right thing. I don't control anything. Everything's beyond my control, and everything being beyond my control and everything being chaotic, and if it's chaotic and it's beyond my control and there's nothing I can do about it, it's easy to drown in despair or apathy. When we, our friends, and or our loved ones suffer, we can drown in despair because there's not a whole lot we can do about a whole lot of anything. We are not in control. But that is also liberating. Wait a minute, John. When I go home today and I turn on Fox or I turn on CNN and I hear about all the National Guard out having the guard everywhere because we may have a riot or whatever, and I can't do anything about that but maybe watch, that can be liberating? You mean when I may get sick and that sickness may lead to death and there's nothing I can do about it? You mean that's liberating? You mean when my portfolio starts looking like it's going downhill? That can be liberating. Wait a minute, John. I love you, but I think you've lost it. Remember the ancient Hebrew fear of large bodies of water? And then hear the psalmist's declaration in Psalm 29:3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. Notice the psalmist acknowledges that the chaos exists. The psalmist acknowledges that the chaos is a powerful force. But even so, God is more powerful than the chaos. The psalmist declares, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. Have you ever been close to the ocean and tried to talk to somebody? Particularly when the surf is a little rougher than normal. It's loud. We can be so close to the other person that we're touching and still not be able to hear each other. To the ancient Hebrew, thunder was the loudest sound they knew. So the psalmist declares that the chaos is real, the chaos is powerful, the chaos is loud, but the Lord is louder. The chaos is real, the chaos is powerful, but the Lord is more powerful. The Lord is heard over the most loud and intense chaos. I can only speak for John Pike this morning, but for me, that imagery is liberating. Though life may be going completely insane, we can remain calm and confident. Though the storms rage, we can remain in perfect peace. Though life is beyond my control, I don't need to be in control. Matter of fact, the older I get, I don't want to be in control. I have come to grips with the reality that I am not in control. And with that reality, strangely enough, there has become a strange sense of peace and liberation. Yes, we are called to live a responsible life. Yes, we are called to live a Christian life. Yes, we are called to live a moral life. Beyond that point, I do not have to stress over the world. That's God's job. Among many, two scriptures constantly roll over and over in my mind. Romans 8:28. You know it, even if you don't know chapter and verse. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His righteousness. Regardless of what chaos can throw at us, regardless of how much pain chaos may be allowed to heap upon us, God can bring something good out of it. God can take even our pain, even our grief, and use it for His greater glory. Now, do I enjoy hardship? No. Do I enjoy struggles and ask God to send them? No. Do I enjoy grief and look forward to the next time I can grieve? No. Do I enjoy pain? Absolutely not. After surgery, I sure was glad for pain meds. Of course not. But I find strength and I find encouragement that when they do come, and they will, God can and God will transform hardship, struggle, grief, and pain into something that brings glory to His name and will eventually accomplish a greater good. And another passage rolls over and over in my mind. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The words of the prophet remind me of a couple of things. Number one, even if God tried to explain everything to me, my piddling little brain's not big enough to comprehend it. If God tried to explain to me the intricacies of world history, salvation history, the national history, my personal history, my family history, and God tried to explain all of that to me, what makes me think my finite piddling brain can handle that? It'd be worse than me when I was in algebra class. Even if God saw fit to try to explain all of that stuff to me, I couldn't comprehend it. And even if I could be sure all of my motives were pure, God knows and sees far more than I can in my finite mind. You want to be in charge? I challenge you some Sunday to try to figure out how to set that heat back there. Somebody's going to think it's too hot. Somebody's going to think it's too cold. Somebody's going to think we're burning up too much gas. That's just setting a thermostat. You want to control the world? You want to control your family? You want to control your nation? You want to control the world? Start with the thermostat first, and when you get that conquered, maybe you can branch out. Even if I could be sure all of my motives were pure, God knows far more than I could ever know. Even if I could be sure all of my motives were pure, God sees far more than I will ever see. Thus, even my most pure motives are tarnished compared to God. And even if they were pure, I cannot fathom the knowledge of God. So as I said a moment ago, the realization that I am not in control, strangely enough, has provided a sense of peace. And oddly enough, isn't peace what we're actually seeking when we're trying to be in control? But by letting over control, I have gained the peace I sought when I was trying to be in control. After all, when it's all boiled down, is that not what we're seeking? Peace of heart and peace of mind. Shortly before Jesus was crucified, He prepared His disciples for His death and their future changed relationship. Their relationship was about to change from human contact and communication to that of communing with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus also knew that the life of the apostles was going to be filled with turmoil and pain, and for most of them, martyrdom, and even the one that wasn't martyred, was exiled. And within that instruction, we have a passage that is very often used in funeral services, which is legitimate. I use it often myself. But it's not a but the passage is really meant for the living. Portions of John 14. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. I have said these things while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you." Now here is next sentence. Don't just let it fly by. Jesus speaking. "My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Both of our children, when they were entering adulthood, at various points told me something. They said, "Growing up's not what it's cracked up to be." That remark surfaced when they were coming to me discussing issues where they had to make a decision. Now, I don't offer advice, but when asked, I'll give it. And of course, I tried to advise them the best they could, but they were now young adults, in their early 20s at the time. And they had to make their own decisions. Their follow-up remark was this: "Life was easier when you just told me what to do, parentheses, took control, and you took the responsibility." I have to admit, I was proud of them for recognizing this aspect of adulthood and what Daddy tried to do. Perhaps God is trying to tell us, you don't have to be in control. You don't have to take on the weight of the world on your shoulders. I'll take it. If you will trust and obey me, I'll take the responsibilities for the issues of the world. If you trust me and obey me, you don't have to understand all the outcomes of life. If you trust me and obey me, regardless of the issues you face, you can remain in my peace. If you trust me and obey me at the right time, I'm taking you home. I'm preparing that place for you right now. And it's a place that you cannot even imagine until you get here. And those things that are bothering you now, they're not even going to be a memory. Except for my attitudes and actions. Pardon the grammar, but I don't control nothing. And I'm at peace with that. I'm at peace because of Jesus' promise. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid. Isn't it good that we are not in control? But the God who is revealed in Jesus Christ is. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings. We don't want your job, but at the same time, we have to admit we would like to be in a little more control. We would like to be able to understand how everything connects together. But yet, Lord, at least just speaking for myself, as the one who has attempted to try to convey a message, the more I tried to be in control and the more I tried to understand, the less I did of either. And so, Lord, thank you for the liberation and the peace that comes with letting go. And Lord, you know the chaos that is our present world. You know the chaos in each individual life. Thank you that you speak your peace into that. And may our hearts, our souls, our minds, our emotions be in a place where we receive that peace and we're able to trust you and experience the peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. And would you please stand for our benediction? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.